This week, Parshas and Sefer Shmos. And of course, the opening pasuk of the Parsha and of the Sefer, very famous. Ele Shmos b'nei Yisrael haba'im Mitzrayma. It's Yaakov, Ish, Ubeso, Bo. Even though technically they came down or again by Echi, but the Torah begins Sefer Shmos with a recapitulation of the Jewish people going down into Mitzrayim. A number of poskim, interestingly enough, I think the Kapachayim may also, but I have on the sheet before you the Levush, suggests that in these psukim, in these words, we have a siman, a remez, I guess you could say, an encoded message, for those who know how to read the code, to a mitzvah called Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum. Look at the Levush, one line, he says remez, the words, or the phrase, Ve'ele Shmos B'nei Yisrael, are Roshei Tevos, letter by letter, to tell us the following message. You can see the corresponding letters in the pasuk. I bolded them to make it easier for you. V'chayev. You like that? That's a good move on his part. V'chayev, from the Vav of Ve'ele. V'chayev, Adam Likros HaParsha, Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum. This says the Levush is the hint, pretty clever. This is the hint in the Torah of the idea, which clearly is not the Oraisa, but seems like maybe a din, a real, not just a minhag, but a real din, a derabanan perhaps, that we are supposed to learn what's called Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum. So, with that strong and central connection to the Parsha we just established, I wanted to use this opportunity to review this concept. And time permitting, what I'd like to do is discuss really the central issue of understanding the nature of this mitzvah, which in fact, as we'll see in a moment, is pretty explicit in some of the Rishonim, two different perspectives. We won't have to be so creative, we'll just have to know how to read the Rishonim, but it's pretty clear. And then I want to see, not only once we see those two understandings, many of the practical issues which people often ask, which is, do they have to do Targum? Can they do Rashi? Do I have to do it before Shabbos? Do I have to do it before laning? What if I miss a week? Can I make up? What about the Ark Scroll? All sorts of questions actually all really flow from the two perspectives. For the most part, all flow from the two perspectives, which we'll see in a moment. So let's discuss both in Longus and with some practical Eitzas and Hadracha, this notion, which is a weekly obligation, of Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum. So there's one Gemara in the Sechta Brachos, Mav Ches, it tells us briefly about this and the importance of it. Omer Rav Huna bar Yehuda, Omer Rav Ami. Li'olam yashlim adam parshiyosav im hatzibur. A person should always complete his parshios, which obviously means the weekly parsha, corresponding with the tzibur, where the tzibur is up to. And how should one do it? Which, by the way, you know, in different times of history, they didn't read one full parsha a week, right? Originally, there was a triannual cycle. It took 3 years, which was easier for Shnai Mikra, for sure. But we should correspond to the Sibur, says the Gemara. And how should we do it? Shnai Mikra, the Psukim, twice, V'Echad Targum, even one Targum. And the Gemara adds as an aside, which there's a little bit of a discussion on, which we're not going to focus on, Afilu Atros V'Divam, which are Aramaic words, more or less, or words like, it's examples, I should say, examples of names of places in the Torah. And Rashi says, Ein Targum, right? It's an example, right? New York. Is there a Hebrew for New York? No, it's New York. It's just in different letters, but it's the same word. So a name of a place, Targum doesn't change what that is. The Targum just doesn't really add anything. Therefore, you might have thought that on those psukim, you don't have to do anything, or maybe it's only the two mikra. And some folks can learn that. Maybe you have to read the Targum on that pasuk anyway, even though those words don't add anything in the Targum. Maybe you have to do that anyway. But that's just to say, the detail of what to do with the names of in the Torah. There's not that much to say on it, and whatever there would be, we're not going to focus on. The Marj continues, Shechal Mashlim Parshiyosu Amat Tzibur Ma'arichin Lo Yama V'Shnasu. It's a... Whatever level of chiyuv this is, there's a pretty big bracha that's attached to it. The Gemara says, if someone can regularly fulfill this mitzvah, Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum, that they're blessed with long life. Yeah?
There actually is a Targum.
Right, so there's a discussion exactly. The post can say, what do you mean? There's different types of Targumim. Some of the Targumim do change. As I said, there is a little bit of discussion. Very good. I'm impressed. That's very good. But as I said, a little bit of the discussion, though, I don't want to really get into. That's, it's interesting, but it's a little bit of a side issue for us. Okay, but that's the Gemara. Okay, good. So comes along the Trumas Hadeshen, and the Trumas Hadeshen has a discussion. I think I may have told you in the past what's unique about the Trumas Hadeshen. Two things. First of all, number one is that according to some, he's a dividing line between Rishonim and Achronim. He's like right on the edge there, so he's a pivotal historical figure. But what's more interesting about him? Right, he asked his own questions. Right, so if you want to be able to set yourself up for a good answer, you got to ask yourself the same. You got to ask yourself the question. So he has the following tshuva, and as we'll see, this is the has become the landmark discussion in halacha. Everything that we'll see afterwards, and since after this, everything flows from this tshuva of the Trumas Hadeshen. Now he discusses a number of the practical issues, which I don't want to discuss, but we'll for now just highlight the two Rishonim and the two different perspectives that he already noted. And that is the following. If you take a look in the third line, he quotes Rabbeinu Simcha. And Rabbeinu Simcha, let's see, where do I want to read from? Rabbeinu Simcha, well, you're not going to, that's the first shita, the main shita. Skip not to that line, but the line below that, the fourth line at the end of the word. He says, you see from Rabbeinu Simcha. How you see it, we'll have to get back to later in the shir. But he says, you see from now, just to raise the issues. He says, you see from Rabbeinu Simcha, mashman, the ikra achiyah, what's the purpose of Shnai Mikra? Kishet kol echa me Yisrael, yikre la'atzmo, kol atara, me rosh v'yad asof, tuchol shana, kimo, sh'osin ha'tzibur. Ad kan is what's important for us. Says Rabbeinu Simcha, what's the purpose of Shnai Mikra? The Chazal had a game plan for you. You know, like we'll have to deal in business or in other things, right? There are certain targets you're supposed to hit each year. There are certain things that you're supposed to do over the course of the year. Chazal and Mashiach, that every Jew should have a review of the Chumash annually. It's an annual chiyuv. So when, and you see he does a little bit of a pivot. When it said Im HaTzibor, you could have understood it more weekly. And that means that the chiv is to stay with them each week. That's not his focus. His focus is that not so much have to be with them as much as just like them. Just like that Tzibor reads a parsha a week in public, and then therefore by the end of the year we'll finish the Torah, so too every private Jew, every individual should read a parsha a week. And again, idea of doing it twice, and also the review, and the targum, we'll see what role that plays. That's his focus. Now again, l'chachila for sure, the best way to do that is to have a pace. One parsha a week, it's an easy pace. But clearly, once you see the way he focuses on the annual chiyuv, what door is he opening, what possibility is he leaving open for us?
It's all here.
And therefore,
don't finish it by week.
Huh?
Week.
So even if it's l'chachila to do it week by week, let's say you're late, let's say you missed something, right? You could already imagine, right? The wheels in your head should be turning already. You could already see from his focus, not so much on the week is not the focus, as much as the annual. Each year you should review the Torah. Well, if that's the case, clearly the door has been opened to allow more flexibility in when you fulfill this mitzvah. And we'll see that's exactly what happened. But you can already detect that from the way he's ma'agir the mitzvah. Skip to the bottom of the Trumas Hadeshen. He quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, who argues on this Rabbeinu Simcha, Upirish. And Rabbeinu Chananel has a different perspective completely. Ein hatama shloma b'shosh yisiyim ha-Torah b'chol shana. You sign. He doesn't let you think maybe it's... No, he said right away, I disagree with who? Rabbeinu Simcha. The idea of finishing it annually, not the point. He disagrees, Rabbeinu Chananel. Ella Efshar, rather, what's the purpose? Kadesh Yehei Rogiel, the Masha Hatzibur Korin, period. You're supposed to be familiar with what the Tzibur is going to read. So here, you have a completely different focus. It's not about general Torah literacy, general Bekiyas, you should know Tanakh. Rather, it's focused on being familiar with what they're going to read in Kriyas HaTorah. And I think, without adding too much on my own, I think what he's basically getting at, which I think is very intuitive, is that the experience of reading, of being in shul for Kriyas HaTorah is a different one. if you've already spent the week going through the parsha. Right? The words are familiar. You could, I know for myself, if there are weeks that I've had trouble going through it, and large parts, sometimes even, of the parsha, the first time I'm hearing them, are in the Kriyas HaTorah, I could be following along in Chumash, but the truth is, it's not, there's not that much Havana. Right? Because it's moving, you don't have a chance to really process it. When it's familiar, you've already been thinking about it, you've already read it even once, let alone if you had done it twice before Shabbos. So then when you hear it in shul, you're much more engaged. I don't know if I've caught, I saw someone once say you could be an active participant. I don't know if it's active, like, but although you're more likely to catch a mistake perhaps. But I don't want to say it's active, but you're certainly more aware and you can understand and process it better. Says the Beit Hananel, that is the goal. The goal is that it shouldn't be a totally symbolic, right? All the action, let me put it this way. The action is not just supposed to be at the Bima. Every person sitting in their respective seat is supposed to really be having a Talmud Torah experience, which probably doesn't happen for the most part if you're not yet familiar with the word. So if you go through it beforehand, week by week, then you're, that experience of learning, reading it in shul becomes a more involved and meaningful experience. And I think that obviously, when we see his disagreement with Simcha in general, we can also easily anticipate that he's also going to have a different attitude toward the practical issue we just mentioned before, which is, how much leeway do I have to finish? If the whole goal is to be prepared to be an engaged listener on Shabbos, how much good will it do to finish it after Shabbos? Or after the Kriya even? Right? It would be b'dyevet at best, and maybe not even. So the different perspectives we can already see, and not just theoretical, we can already see, and we'll see in two or three or four other nafkamines as well, we can easily anticipate a few practical issues. Yeah?
So I guess by that logic also, wouldn't you have to do it for the Haftarah then?
Oh, we're going to see that as well. Very good. Excellent. Okay? Good. So that's the two perspectives in the Rishonim, here quoted by Trumas Hadesh. I just want to point out, I'm not going to show it to you inside, but you have it on your sheet if you're interested. First of all, the Levush is explicit. The Levush holds like Rabbeinu Simcha. The Levush has a one-liner. Kreshiehei Baki B'Torah. Why do you do Shnei Mikra? Nothing to do with Kriyas HaTorah. That's just a way of setting the pace. The goal is, annually, you should be a Baki in Torah. A Bakiyas program. That's the goal. Aruch HaShulchan and below, Emes Liyakov. You familiar with Emes Liyakov? That's the Sefer and Chumash by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Both Aruch HaShulchan and the Emes Liyakov have their own theories for Shnai Mikra. They both suggest what you could say are two dinim, or two different aspects, two different goals. But they don't say just straight, oh, do like both things in the Shulchan Sedeshin. They both have their own language, their own jargon. I'm not even 100% sure I appreciate what they're everything that they have in mind. But Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky speaks about the difference in Kriya and Limud. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that there are two roles of Talmud Torah, Lishmoa and Lilmod. The Shmoa is more passive, that's what you hear from the Baal Koreh. Lilmod is learning it yourself. If we had more time, we could figure out how those relate to the two opinions in the Trumas Hadeshin. But just so you should know, you can think about it over Shabbos, or on your own, that Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky have their own takes, if you will, on the mitzvah. But the two basic approaches we saw from the Trumas Hadeshin already now in the Rishonim. So nafkamina number one is clearly the issue that we've already been hinting at and alluding to. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. Number two. Says the Shulchan Aruch the following. Interesting lashon. Mitzvah bin amuchar. The best way, but again, once you see somebody say mitzvah bin amuchar, what can we already predict? That there are going to be other options. Right? That there's levels. Mitzvah bin amuchar. Shiyashlim osa. You should already have done everything twice. Kodem shiyochal b'shabbos. Interesting, he doesn't say before Kriyas HaTorah, he says before lunch. You know, because from lunch comes the nap, from nap comes mincha, from mincha comes shal shudis, and then you're already thinking what you're going to do Saturday night, and there goes the day. So he says, better to do it before lunch. The second thing is, well, okay, if you didn't do it before lunch, make sure to do it before you go back to shul for mincha. And you could understand that in two ways. Either practically speaking, by then Shabbos is almost over, you might just miss it. Or B, what could you also say, I think more subtly, Mincha is already a laning of next week's Parsha. So that's like the unofficial end of this week, if you will. So get it in before we are ready to start the new parsha. The Yeshom, but all of that was mitzvah min ha-mukhar. That's, you know, his ideal. But then he says, the Yeshom, others say, you have much more time. Ad revi'i b'Shabbos. Until the Wednesday following Shabbos. Whew. A few extra days. And then for those of us who are still behind, Yesh Omrim, a third sheet of the Shulchan Aruch, Ad Shmini Atzeres.
Nothing to do with that.
Whoa! It blew away. Right? It wasn't like until Saturday night, the Motzei Shabbos, you know, Raza the Raza, Shalashidis. He goes from Shabbos afternoon to boom, Shmini Atzeres, which as they point out in the parentheses, meaning Simchas Torah. And what's Simchas Torah all about? Shiyash Lemem HaTzibor, because the Tzibor finishes, right? In our communities, we finish reading the Torah on the Simchas Torah, therefore, you should finish before then. Now, I want to just point out, with all of that, what always bothered me when I just was like quickly reading the Shulchan Aruch was that Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar, what did you expect him to say for Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar?
That week?
Before Shabbos, or at least before Lane, right? So, the Magen Avraham says that. Again, it's hard to know why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it explicitly, but if you think, look, the Magen Avraham, and I don't think the Magen Avraham is arguing, I think he is assuming that this must be what the Shulchan Aruch meant. Hamin Magen Avraham Hainu, Im Haya Onos Gadol Be'er Shabbos. Meaning, of course, you're supposed to do it before Shabbos. Come on, that's obvious, as the Magen Avraham. Then the Shulchan Aruch says that for every reason you couldn't finish it before Shabbos, then within Shabbos we have, well, before lunch, before Mincha, you know, we have the three things that came afterwards. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says, "L'chadchila mehanachon im lo kar shnai mikra v'chatargam be'erev Shabbos," like the Magen Avraham. "L'hashkim b'Shabbos v'boker." He has a new thing, which is not in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, if you need to finish before Shabbos, try to get up in the morning before shul. "V'likra shnai mikra v'chatargam kodem halichaso lebeisak in eses." And why? Obvious reason, because that's before Kriya Satora. You see from here that the Mishnah Berurah held you shouldn't be learning during Chazor Shabbos, I guess. Because I would say, well, yes, so you could get an extra whole aliyah in Chazor Shabbos, especially if you got a chazan that's going to dray a little bit. But no, says Mishnah Berurah, when you go to shul, you daven. So you have to finish before you go to shul. So what you see clearly here is a tension. Most of the sources are focusing, especially the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, are focusing on trying to finish not only on a weekly basis, but specifically, ideally, before Shabbos, before Shabbos and before laning. And Bidi-Eved, still sometime on Shabbos, still focusing it on it being a weekly obligation. But then we had that third shita in the Shulchan Aruch, the Yesh Omrim, that said, it's got nothing to do with the week. Yesh Omrim, you could even do it until Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah. And sure enough, if you look back in the Trumas HaDeshen, go back now to the third line. We saw Rabbeinu Simcha. Rabbeinu Simcha, which was the part we didn't read, but if you look at the end of the third line, Im lo asakei, if you didn't finish it on Shabbos, Yashlim kulam, Bishmini Atzeres Shabbat Gomrim HaTzibor. Where did the Shulchan Aruch got it from? He got it from Rabbeinu Simcha. And of course it makes perfect sense. Because Rabbeinu Simcha said, like the Levush paraphrased him, the goal of Shnai Mikra Makatargam is Baki Batorah. Mahabdil would be like someone who's training, right? So bottom line is, if you go to you're training for the marathon or something, they'll tell you, keep a regular pace, run this amount every day. Yes, is it possible? You're supposed to run 40 miles a week. Can I run 20 miles on Thursday because I didn't do anything until then? You could, but that's not the better way to do it. The better way to do it is do 8 miles a day, Monday through Friday. That'll be a better way to do it. So too, of course it's better, the pace of doing it every week is better, even for a better simcha. But don't confuse the pace with the goal. The goal is that you should have an annual review, a thorough review of the Torah, Shei Baki B'Torah, so you become familiar with the Torah, and therefore, if you can't keep up the ideal pace, as long as you finish it by the end of the year, you'll still fulfill the mitzvah and the goal. Whereas, of course, if you take a look at the bottom of the Rabbeinu Chananel, right where we left off, second line from the bottom, Im Kain, Rabbeinu Chananel said the whole focus is that you should be an engaged listener, familiar with Kriyas HaTorah each week. Hayatzarech la'ashim parsha shel yom tov u'musafim lefi tamzeh. He adds a whole other factor. Hold on one second. If it's not just the issue of when you finish, now it's a question of what you do. So Tanakhim, then number one, was how much leeway do we have to finish? If the goal is to be an engaged, familiar listener on Shabbos, then you can see where the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham are coming from. You really, really should get it done. What if I didn't? Korban Chananel? So either we would say, so in B'nyavid, it's just too late. Or maybe we would say, no, we could kvetch along, this Shabbos is still that week. Maybe, I'm not even sure. But obviously you wouldn't go past that. It only makes sense to go past that to be lenient if you have a completely different perspective that it's to be a Bucky in Torah, nothing to do with Kriyas Torah per se. But now let's think about a second Nafkamina. Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Chol HaMoed, Yomim Tovim, Purim, all of these other days besides Shabbos when we read the Torah. You have to do Shnayim Mikra before those days on those readings. What's the obvious Savara not to?
It's just by knowing the Torah gold, isn't it?
What's the obvious Savara not to? What's more obvious? You're going to read Rebbe. There's nothing new there. Forgive me. There's nothing new there. It's in Noso, it's in Bo, it's in Pinchas, it's wherever it's from. But you're going to get to it. Depending on which Yom Tov we're talking about, you might have already read it during the year, or you're going to be getting to it. But it doesn't add new Chomer. Eventually, if you just read, you just get into Shulchan Shabbos and never heard any other piece of Torah, you hear it anyway, the same things. So sure enough, Rabbeinu Chananel, who said the whole purpose is to prepare for Kriyas HaTorah, what does he say again? Back inside the Torah Sanhedrin, we give Hayitzarech L'Ashlim Parshiyos Tel Yom Tov. So Rabbeinu Chananel, but I disagree. I hold you should do Shnayim Mikra on all those Yom Tovim things. But what's the purpose? I'm going to get to it anyway, or maybe even got to it? No, because that's not the idea. The idea, the bottom line is even if you're going to get, if you're going to get to it, it really is irrelevant. But even if I got to it, let's say it's a Yom Tov at the end of the year, and I already read that Parsha in the week, so what? That's a month ago, 2 months ago, it's in the fog, it's in the back of the mind. The days leading up to the Kriya, if it's fresh, and I've just recently reviewed those Tukim, obviously much more familiar to me, and that's going to enhance my experience sitting in shul. The fact that I did read it a few months ago, or I might read it in a few months, says Rabbeinu Simcha, Rabbeinu Chananel is irrelevant. Yeah.
Did you have to read say Va'era this week before Shabbos Mincha?
No, nobody said that.
Oh,
no.
Same thing.
Because that's not the chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah. That's a separate mitzvah. The idea of the Monday and Thursday and Shabbos afternoon with the 3 days you shouldn't go, that's a separate takana, I think. That's not the separate, that's not the original, that's not the ikar chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah. I haven't seen anyone. Listen, someone's always got a chumrah somewhere. So if you could find it for me, I wouldn't be surprised if someone would be mad. But I didn't see anyone who had such a chumrah. Okay? Now listen, if you anyway want to get a head start, it makes sense to do feel shamey.
You could start before laning Shabbos afternoon, the next week.
It's a good question. I'm not sure. I never heard anyone say you have to. But you're saying better. Maybe you're not even allowed. Maybe it's too early. I'm not sure. I never did it. In case you can't tell.
I think the Shmir Shabbos says that you have to start Shnei Mikra after this month, or earliest
when you can. Okay. So I would have thought intuitively that you could. But then when you asked me the question, I was hedging a little bit. I have to take a look. Maybe you're right. So let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. So we saw Rabbi Chananel, he's going to be machmir on that Shabbat. Rabbi Chananel so far is going to be a machmir, right? First of all, he says you have to do it every week. And so can't fall behind. And second of all, he says you're going to have to do it for the Yom Tovim as well. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Too bad Rabbi Chananel were maker. Ein Sarach Likros Parshas Yom Tov. You don't have to. And Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has in a tshuva that this is totally, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein spells out the longest, he says it's obvious, that this is connected to the issue that we've been seeing until now. Because if, and I'm not going to read it inside, but it's very easy to read, he says explicitly, Rabbeinu Chananel, we see in the Torah Sedeshin himself, he says, of course you have to do it even for Yom Tovim, because he wants you to be an engaged listener. But if you hold, says Rabbi Moshe, like the Rabbeinu Simcha, and the Lavush, the whole focus is to do a Baki and Torah, and the way that's done is on an annual pace. So then as long as I'm going to get to all these tzukim over the course of the year, that's my annual review. And next year I'll review it again. I need to do it 3 times this year. You know, there's no chiyuv to do Shnayim Mikra every time I read another parsha of the Nesiim on Chanukah or wherever. Once is enough. I mean, once meaning one time of doing it twice. That's enough. I don't have to do it also every time I was, you know, when I'm going to get the parsha, it's not sort of a Midbar. I'll do it then. I don't have to do it in December for Chanukah. So that's Nafkamina number 2. Nafka Mina number three is Haftorah. I can't remember, somebody asked me about the Haftorah. That was an excellent question. Take a look at number five on your sheet. The truth is that the Truma Hadeshin raised the possibility. But the Rama says very clearly, Ein Sarich Likros Haftoros. I'm not sure who the Nogu is. Anyone here know? Not me. But somehow the Rama says that there were some big Tanakh guys, maybe Rabbi Liebtag does it, I don't know. He doesn't need to, he knows about it anyway. But some people did it. But that's really not the Ikra Din, and frankly, I would say it's not the Minog at all. You don't have to do the Haftorah. But Taka, why should it even be a problem? Why would there even be a Minog to do it? So take a look at what the Mishnah Berurah says. Ta'am ha-Minog, Sheva yikru'uhu l'machar l'ma'atir, Yeboki v'rogil ba. So the Mishnah Berurah says, listen, the Shulchan Aruch Tzak makes sense, right? The Shita Seinu makes sense. The goal is we should finish Chumash each year. Reading random prakim, or less than prakim in some cases, of Tanakh, that wasn't the goal. Or else there could have been a new mitzvah to say, learn Tanakh. Right? You could easily have imagined. And there's such a thing, Tanakh Yomi. There are people who finish Tanakh every year, or less than that sometimes, you know, quicker than that. But that's not the mitzvah. There's this annual mitzvah to finish Torah. Clearly, it's not to finish Tanakh, and it's not random pieces of Tanakh, but, you know, you don't get a sense of the stories or the overall message of Tanakh by reading the random part that were chosen for Haftoros. So, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, the Shitaso, clearly the goal is like Rabbeinu Simcha, to be a Baki in Torah. Fine. But says the Mishnah Berurah, so why does anyone have a minhag to do it? It only makes sense, he says, according to Rabbeinu Chananel. But here he adds a twist, interestingly. Not that you have to listen to Haftorah and be engaged, because maybe they're going to call you for Haftorah. And what do you see him implying here, if you read through the lines? That they weren't reading Haftorah out of Prince of Chumash. That's my guess. Right? Then you don't need to say you could be practicing all week for that. If you want to, you know, really, in case they call you up, if you've reviewed it during the week, then you can read it from a cloth. I remember, as clear as day, I don't remember how many years ago it was, 10 years ago, 11 years ago or so, Nebuch, it was when there had been a real spate of terrible terrorism in Israel. Like, boom, boom, boom. It was a real bad week-to-week period, I forget exactly. And I don't know if it was the Rabbanut HaRashit, but it was really all around the world. There was this decision on a given day that it should be Yom Kippur Cotton. It should be a fast day. It was going on in Israel. And, of course, when you have Yom Kippur Cotton, then you have Mincha, like a Tainis. So I was still in YU in the Kollelium, and it was before I moved to Baltimore. And they did a very beautiful thing. It was one of the more beautiful experiences in my 10 years at YU. They brought all of the schools of YU together. I mean, YU and Stern, MTA, and Central, graduate schools, everyone, into Lampert Auditorium for this huge, unbelievable mincha. And then they vedafka had the chazan, the got Leahy, everyone was from, like, they tried to make sure from a different school. A Rebbe from Stern got this Ali, and a Rebbe from Central, a Rebbe from MTA, and a Rebbe from the YU, and NYP, and from IBC. It was very, very beautiful kind of office. And it so happened, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein happened to be in America. Maybe he was there for his yeshiva. I'm not sure why. He was anyway in America, and he was with us, aside from all the other YU Rosh Yeshivas, he was with us for the mincha, and they called him up for the last aliyah for maftir. So in YU, like in many yeshivas, they have the scrolls. If you go to YU, you'll see they do have to from a cloth. So the Baal Kore, who happened to be by that point already, there was an end of his kolol period, or maybe already a Rebbe in YU, an old friend of mine, and a Chavrus, Ellen Bamitzi, together with him, Rabbi Tzvi Ram, Shalita, he is fantastic Baal Kore. He was the Baal Kore anyway for the Kriyas HaTorah, and he was assuming that he was going to read the Haftorah. He knows how to read it from a cloth. The person gets to say the brachos, and then, you know, Rav Tzvi was going to lean in. Sure enough, Rav Lichtenstein says the brachos. First of all, I have to tell you, the best Musar speech I heard maybe ever was to hear him say those brachos. Mamish and Umka Deliva, the neshama that came out when he made those brachos was something to behold. But then, I'll never forget, like Mamish, 1,000 people were there, and he says the beauty of the brachas of the Haftorah, also like crying with emotion, and then the Tzvi Ram, who's a big time chacham, but a very short guy, he leans in, or Lichtenstein is not a short guy, he leans in to be able to kind of, you know, read the thing, and Lichtenstein gave him this look like, over there. he didn't know he was going to get, he didn't know he was going to get the aliyah until a minute before he got the aliyah, or maybe not even, 2 seconds. But he's such a bucky. No problem. Boom. Give me the cloth. And he went perfectly. He didn't miss a beat. I don't know too many people, including Tzvi Shishivas, who could have done that. But he's a very special person. But the bottom line is, the Mishnah Berurah says, you're not all going to be around Lichtenstein. If you don't review the Navi beforehand, if they call you for Haftarah, you're going to be stuck. So therefore, it says Mishnah Berurah, maybe that's where that Mishnah came from. But Mi'ikr Hadin, the Shochanar Pasuk, the Mishnah Berurah are arguing, you do not have to do Haftarahs, and that certainly makes sense according to our general orientation, which is based on Rabbeinu Simcha, the idea of becoming Baki in Torah. If you hold like Rabbeinu Chananel, then maybe there's room for a little bit. But we generally seem to be following the program of Rabbeinu Simcha. Let's do one more Nafgamina, and then we'll see some final practical issues and finish up the shiur. So one more Nafgamina, which I did not put on the sheet, which happened to me the year I was your age, 18 years ago, but it could happen to any of you guys. If there's a leap year, or if it's one of those years, not such a leap year, but if it's one of those years where in America they're doing a lot of double parshas. So when you sometimes if you're going home for Pesach, or in some cases it's when you come back from Pesach, you could get burned, right? What happens if Yontif is on a Thursday? excuse me, Yontif is on Friday. So in Eretz Yisrael is one day Yontif. So the next day, Shabbos, they could read the Parshat Shavuot. But in the Chutz La'aretz, it's the 2 day Yontif, they're going to be reading still Yontif on Shabbos. So as you know, that's what happens. There could be a few weeks where America is behind Israel, and then America will do a double Parsha, even though Israel didn't, and then that way they'll catch up. But the point is, if you are in America for Yontif, let's say, and then you come right back, of course you don't end up the day of the next Zman, the first Shabbos of the Zman, they're reading a Parsha, you missed the Parsha, because in Israel they read it last Shabbos, but for you it was, or vice versa, if you were in Israel the first week, and then you went back to America, let's say you're an Israeli, or you were in Israel for Yom Tov, and then it happens to be you were going home the week after Pesach. You already heard Parshas HaShavua in Israel, but now you're going back to America, they're going to read the same Parsha the next week that you just heard last week. So in all of these cases, these are quirks, but it could easily happen, and happens usually to guys traveling to and from Israel, do you have to do Shnai Mikra in those cases? Either, again, and you could argue, you could distinguish, but it's really obviously a flip side of the same coin. Either because you already heard the laning, or because you're not going to hear the laning. So I saw that there's could be other people speaking about it. There's a Tshuva Sefer, 20th century Sefer called the Tshuva Betzel HaChachma. When I was younger, I'm embarrassed to admit, but I feel close to you, so now I can admit it. I used to think it was batzel, like onion. Like, hey, batzel! When I ordered my shawarma, I'd get a batzel. Oh, my, my. Anyway, so then I was like, batzel, chacham. Like, I love onions too, but, you know, onions is great. You have a hamburger and a shawarma, but the batzel, chacham. Then I realized, no, it's not batzel, it's batzel, and the shadow. Oh, well, the author was a rabbi, Bezalel Stern, who had been a rabbi, I think, in Hungary before the war, and then after the war, he ended up somehow making it to Australia. And that's where he was a rabbi until he passed away. So the Tshuva Betzel HaChachma discusses some of these questions. And based on the longness that we've seen, it seems that you could plug in exactly, the whole goal is that you should do it by the end of the year. You should go be a Baki in Tanakh. So then you have to make sure to do it. Whenever, it's not focused on that week, if you already did it last week, there'd be no mitzvah to do it again. And you're hearing the Parsha again if you went from Israel to America. Right, but if the focus is that, no, wherever you're going to hear Pirsut Torah that Shabbos, you should be engaged, like Rabbeinu Chananel, so then it'll be a cool in one case, but a cool in the other case. It'll be exactly the flip and the psach. Yeah?
When you heard Rabbeinu Chananel, you just heard the Parsha a week ago, you probably still know it.
Maybe. Okay, it's hard to know. Again, as I said, the Kula and the Chomer, we generally smoke Rabbeinu Simcha, and I don't know if Rabbeinu Chananel is a world traveler, so I don't know what he would say exactly, but I'd say you might be right, but I would say first instinct would be a little differently, but could be we could think about that also. Okay, so let's just do, we have 5 more minutes, or 2 more minutes, or 1 more minute. So basically we usually end, we have at least 5 more minutes. How was dinner tonight? Something great, right? I'm not like keeping you for a really good meal, am I? I am? Oh my gosh, okay, quickly! They never had any good food when I was here, I can tell you that. Very, very quickly, this is important. Practically speaking, how to learn. And what's the method? Now we're off the chakira for a moment. How do you learn it? You do pasuk, targum pasuk, you do tuksuk and then the targum, you do the whole parsha, then go back and do the targum. How do you do it? So this is a discussion. There's numerous opinions in the Mishnah Berurah, but the basic two approaches that the Mishnah Berurah discusses are either doing pasuk by pasuk, reading it twice, and then targum, pasuk by pasuk, reading it twice, and targum, or doing parsha by parsha. And here I don't mean parsha like Bereishis Shemos Lech Lecha, here I mean parsha like Chusa Tumah, where you have the pays and stuff, the paragraphs in the Chumash or in the Torah, a few psukim at a time. Mishnah Berurah quotes two different shitas, and he writes, I think, very sensibly at the bottom, the Avad Kamar Avad, the Avad Kamar Avad. It doesn't really matter. Different people have different minhagim. It's okay. It's okay either way. Aruch HaShulchan points something out. Aruch HaShulchan discusses, is it possible to do targum in the middle, or does it have to daf be two mikras and then a targum? Aruch HaShulchan assumes that it doesn't really matter, and he says it's okay if you do targum in the middle. So you could do shnayim, I mean mikra, targum mikra, or you could do shnayim mikra, and then targum, however you prefer. Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, the Rav Ephraim, who was a Talmud, plus Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein, so he wrote in a tshuva that he was once with Rav Moshe, and he, right when Rav Moshe was already in his 70s, maybe about his 80s, and he says, he observed, what did Rav Moshe do? He says, Rav Moshe, that on Shabbos afternoon, Avar, it's interesting, he's apparently he's not makhid to do it before Kriyas Torah, Shabbos afternoon, he did the whole thing. Avar Shnayim Mikra, Mila B'Mila. He did word for word, uncle's uncle, word, uncle's word, regulus. He did Rashi and Rambam. We'll get back to Rashi in a minute when we finish the shiur. I'll mention about Rashi, but usually the discussion is Rashi instead of this. Moshe did Rashi and Uncles, and because it's, you know, so easy, he did Rambam every week. And then he adds such a beautiful musr. Says Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, he did this kimo she'over pam rishona after shekimat ayin shana avralza. So the enthusiasm and the dedication that Moshe had already as an older man, as a god of Israel, he'd been doing the same thing for 70 years. But he did it still as if it was all fresh and all new. It was a very beautiful thing to see. So we see different approaches. Fine. Last point, which is very interesting. People think that it's like a modern question. Can you do, you know, because we don't really know Targum so well. So people ask now, young guys especially, can they do Rashi? It's a good question. But you should know, it's not new. It's already from the Rishonim asset. You get a sense of how overwhelming Rashi is. That just a generation or two after he lived, 1,000 years ago already, the other great Rishonim, the Baal Yatosis, already saying maybe Rashi could supplant Targum. And if you take a look at the tour says, in Lomad HaParshim, Rashi, Choshev Kmo Targum, it works. Tour passes that way. If you take a look at the Beis Yosef below, Beis Yosef quotes the Machlokas among early Rishonim, different opinions, maybe Rashi does count, maybe Rashi doesn't count. The Beis Yosef himself says, and he passes, because the Beis Yosef is the same author of the Shulchan Aruch, Sakaro, that at best, Yotzes Kulam, you should do both. Targum and Rashi, that's a Yari Shemayim, so we see now where Moshe got it from, and that's what he says in Shulchan Aruch, and Lomad HaParshim Perash Rashi, Choshev Kmo Targum, Ikra Din, like the Tur said, Rashi can replace Targum, but Yari Shemayim, Ikra Targum, Gam in Perish Rashi. Now the important point, and I'll leave you with a very important practical point in a minute, the important point are brought up in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says, listen, first of all he says there are milas between, relative milas of Targum and relative milas of Rashi. Targum, there's a tradition that the Targum somehow was given at Sinai, that somehow it became Ruach HaKodesh later, but that it goes back objectively all the way, or inherently all the way back to Sinai. So a certain Kedusha to Targum that does not exist to Rashi. On the other hand, Mishnah points out, Rashi is incorporating all sorts of Midrashim in Chazal, so you get a much deeper understanding of the larger picture you do Rashi than you do Targum. So it's a little bit of a balancing out. The upshot, though, says Mishnah Berurah, and this is what's very, very important, he says that the reason that we consider possibly Rashi is because you have to understand what is Targum. Targum is not a translation of the Torah into Aramaic. Targum is an interpretation. It's Aramaic, but it's an interpretation of the Torah. The difference between a translation and an interpretation. Now, it's a very succinct interpretation. You have to be a tremendous Talmid Chacham and an expert in Aramaic to glean what interpretations the Targum is being mosif to the text. But that's the Hanacha, that it's an interpretation. And therefore, since Rashi, as we all learn as we get older, is not a translation. It's the biggest mistake that sometimes Macham can make, or with younger students, is somehow people think, if I don't understand anything in the Chumash, I'll look in Rashi, as if Rashi is a dictionary. Rashi is not, once we get older, we learn other Mepharshim, when we see they argue on Rashi, we realize that Rashi is not a dictionary. Rashi is not a translation at all. Rashi is an explanation. It's interpretation. Now that's why, given the godless of Rashi's interpretation, it could even perhaps make Rashi supplant Targum, which is Misinai. But the upshot of this, which is what already is in the Torah and in the Mishnah Berurah, is, but therefore vernacular translations do not count. So therefore, if you were a Yiddish person, and there was a Yiddish translation of the Torah, people thought maybe that should work. There's something called Sena Urena. So Mishnah Berurah does not work, because there's a translation. Or now, Shiloh, can I read the Chumash with the art scroll? And that, the answer is yes, you could, because that makes you understand the Shnai Mikra. But that's not count for Tarma. However, I heard from a contemporary of mine, I didn't hear from directly from my Rebbe, but I heard from somebody else, that they heard from Rabbi Willig, that he thought that maybe this is the difference, catch this, between art scroll and Aryeh Kaplan. You know the purple Aryeh Kaplan from Mashem? I heard in the Rabbi Willig that he thought perhaps reading the Aryeh Kaplan English could count as an interpretation, because Aryeh Kaplan is not just translating the words, he incorporated Midrashim in the way he translates. I'm not even talking, you know, if you look on the bottom, he has some notes, not as extensive as the art scroll footnotes on the bottom, but he has some notes on the bottom. That's not what we're talking about. No, just page to page, you have Chumash on the right, English on the left. So it's not a straight translation. The art scroll is a straight translation. So that the Aryeh Kaplan tried to be an interpretation, meaning he incorporated certain Midrashim in the way he chose to translate certain words. So he suggested, it's obviously not in Chachilo, maybe B'dievet, for someone who can't go through Rashi, maybe it would be possible to do this. But I just want to end with the following story, which is that sometimes we think, Chumash Rashi, you know, that's such a simple thing, we're yeshiva guys, we're, you know, holding an Iktos, and we're Nesivus, and it's good to be holding Iktos and Nesivus, but you should know, to somebody who knows Chumash Rashi, it's like already a Begetter Talmud Chacham. That's not me, that's Rabbi Shaul Salanter. They say, I heard this also, I don't know how people know this, but I've heard said, Rabbi Shaul Salanter used to quip that he would give someone smicha if they could pass a bachina on Parshas Mishpatim with Rashi. You remember Parshas Mishpatim with Rashi? You have to be a bucky and all of a sudden a zikin and chum choshem mishpat to go to Rashi on Mishpatim. So if you know that, your mom is holding almost like a talmud chacham. So on the one hand, we should be very much focused on all the great high level learning that we're doing in yeshiva. You shouldn't forget that the simple stuff is also important. And there's a lot, obviously, the more we learn Rashi, the more we even see the treasures in Rashi. So I would say, certainly, for many years, you should really just focus on Rashi. Halavai, you're an expert in Rashi. You want to be a Yari Shemaim, you want to go throw in the Targum too? That's great. But the focus really should be, I think, for most of us, myself included, on Chumash and Rashi, knowing that well. Finally, one last thing, I've got to look at this more practical. Does laning count? This is a big shout. People have asked me this before. Does laning count? In other words, you could do one Mikra, one Targum, or one Rashi, and then do laning on Shabbos. So that is a discussion in the postgame. It's very, very, very b'dievet. There are some poskim hold that does not count. Does not count. The other poskim will say that b'dievet, it would work. So the advice is obvious. You certainly should not plan on relying on it. And as we saw from the Shulchan Aruch, even if you had only, you can always do Shabbos afternoon. There's other times you can do it. But bottom line, if you pay attention during laning, at least you have that to fall back on if you never get through it the second time. But I wouldn't plan on it, but the more you pay attention to laning, the more you can at least fall back on it if necessary. All right, good job. You have plenty of time.